Thomas Village Baptist Church. Thank God that you chose to come to hear his word preached today. I've got a couple of announcements. All that are interested in going to the Bush Bean Museum this week, meet at the church Tuesday the 19th. That's this coming Tuesday at 9 a.m. And remember, next Sunday we'll be having our services at Natural Tunnel Park. Next Sunday is our church picnic. We're to be at Natural Tunnel Park at 10:30 a.m. No Sunday school. We will be at Shelter 5. And the church will provide chicken tenders, rolls, drinks, and our paper products. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for the desserts and the sides for people to bring. So look same, out that there.
That's the same shelter we was in last year.
Last year, yes. And if you're here for the first time today, there's a little tear out in the back of your brochure there. If you don't care, just fill it out and put it in the box out there in the foyer as you leave today. And again, we just thank God for everyone that's come out. Thank God for what he's done this week. Thank him for what he's going to do today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for another day and a privilege, Lord, that you've given us to be into your house. I just pray, dear God, that you would be with the pastor as he stands today to proclaim your word. But most of all, Lord, I just pray if there's one here today that knows you not as Lord and Savior, I just pray that this would be the day. Lord, we just thank you again for all you do for us. Thank you for all that you're going to do for us. And Lord, forgive us of our sins and our failures. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
All right, good morning. All right, we are going to sing. We've got, I don't know if you all, some people may know this, but we hope that you will stand and sing this. What a mighty God we serve, and he has made me glad. And we'll have the words up here too. So if you all will stand and sing the call to worship with us this morning.
One more thing, there's no children's church this morning.
Praise this morning.
Praise him, praise.
great this morning. And you look pretty good, too. All right, if you would, turn over to page 203. His name is wonderful.
Everyone should know this one, so sing along with us. How great is our God?
The God is free and all. Singing this morning. It does sound real good, and she's right, y'all. Good looking crowd this morning. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but when we got in here and we started, it was very dark on the outside. But the more we be, and I'm not saying it's because of it, okay, but the more we began to sing, the brighter it got on the outside. And you know, that's what happens with us on the spiritual aspect too. When I came in here today, it felt like some folks was carrying a heavy load. You know, there's just a burden. But as we continue to sing and give praise to the Lord, it just seems like that burden lifts a little bit. And He picks it up off of us, because in His presence, there is peace and joy. So I've got a little, as you're turning to Galatians chapter 2, I've got a homework assignment for you this week. If you notice, the call to worship. The idea there is worshiping is, as you're turning to Galatians chapter 2, is when we, the believer, we the peon, the small, recognize the holiness of our God. We turn all of our attention, our reverence, our respect, our awe, everything that we are on Him, and do our best to forget the world around us. So I challenge you, maybe at least once or twice this week, just practice worshiping God by yourself. Just ask the Spirit to turn all your attention, everything, admiration, love to Him, and just see what happens next Sunday when we come back together. Who knows? Revival might begin. If you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by the radio, it's good to have you this morning. Thankful that you're a part of us. We'd love for you to be with us in person, so if you get a chance, just come and you'll be an honored guest. Also, we've got some visitors today. It is good to have you, and we're thankful that you're here. And after one time, you're not a guest anymore. You know, you can kick your shoes off next time you come, okay? Not today, but next time you come, all right? No, we just ask that you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Also, we just want to say thanks to everybody that participated in the women's conference on Thursday night. It was a beautiful, beautiful meal and a wonderful time of fellowship. And I just enjoy it. I didn't recognize the name. Miss Douglas? Miss Dixon? Taylor. I don't know why I thought of D. I didn't realize, but she was speaking, and I know that there was a blessing in that. So I'm going to ask you, do we have a word of praise or testimony this morning? And we made it out alive. It was a good time. Good time. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Yeah, you didn't have to deposit him and then go back. Amen. Sister Rowena? Praise the Lord. Answer the prayers. Glory to God. Answer the prayers. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. What happened? We had people from Kentucky and people from Wisconsin. Yeah, Wisconsin, yeah. And I don't know how many churches. I mean, there was bukus of churches. Anyone else today? Amen. I just want to praise the Lord because there's a sweet spirit in our church right now. And I just mean this moment. I mean as a whole. And not only is he here, he's stirring. He's moving. And we need to be on guard for the enemy every day, every time, that we just focus on the Lord and do our best to serve him and trust that everybody else is doing the same thing. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Word of praise or testimony? I may not even preach. I'll keep going. Huh? Amen. Car wouldn't turn off. I took the battery cable off of it, and it still kept running. I thought I heard Brother Paul. Amen. It is. Yeah, thank you, brother. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. This would be our fourth installation of our study in the book of Galatians. And if we had it a title for it, it would be The Gospel of Jesus Christ Alone, A Hill to Die On. So let's look in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Another word right there could be hypocrisy. He was taken away with their hypocrisy. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, whilst we seek to be justified by Christ, ourselves also be found as sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which were destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is right, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank You and I praise You for this day. And Lord, I'm thankful that You are on the throne right now. You're working on our behalf. And so, Father God, I praise You for who You are. I thank You for Jesus Christ, that He is the remedy not only for my sin, but the whosoever's sin. God, I thank You for the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us and that works among us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit today You will take and You will make much of Jesus. And that in making much of Jesus, the Father will be glorified. And that we will be found obedient to worshiping in spirit and in truth. Forgive me of my sins and my failures. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you remember, we're in our study of the book of Galatians, and it begins, Paul tells us right from the beginning that there's an issue that needs to be confronted at the church of Galatia. And that is, there in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from He that called you to grace, called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And matter of fact, he goes on to say that if someone comes, that well, there is no other gospel, is what he teaches. And he says two times in verses 8 and verses 9, he says, if someone comes preaching, or even an angel comes preaching a different gospel than we've presented unto you, let them be accursed or let them be damned. And so we see that what had happened was there was a group known as the Judaizers. These were a group of quote-unquote believers that believed first before a Gentile could come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. First, they had to become a Jew. And then they had to follow through with all the legalistic parts, the circumcision, the food, and then the holy days. And once you did that, then you can take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But Paul says, there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of grace by faith through Christ. And this is what he stands behind that in our next study. If you remember, he had the confidence in his calling. He told them, I choose to please only one. That's my goal. All I want to do is please God. And I've been appointed by Jesus Christ, and I've been educated and activated by Him as well, because He's given me a new life and a new purpose. Then last week we looked at the unity that can be found in the true gospel. After Paul had defended his ministry, then he goes on to say how he defended his message. He said that he went up to Jerusalem and he met with a few and in private. And you remember who that was? It was James, the brother of Christ, who was over the Jerusalem Christian church at that time. And it was Peter, or Cephas, and it was John. And they gave him, once he gave the testimony and told him what was going on, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, saying, hey, we recognize that the power of God's on you. You be the missionary to the Gentiles in the same way that Paul or Peter is the missionary to the Jews. But then those so-called brothers, they came in there and tried to twist and manipulate. But what we see is that unity came as they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And so now that we've come to this point, we see that Paul is still continuing to tell about how much he has defended the gospel, the value of the gospel. And today I want to talk to you about that it being a hill to die on. You know, in war, lots of times, especially in World War II, and the idea was, especially against Japan, it was called island hopping. You know, they would fly a plane to one, and then they would take over that little island, and they would hold that island, and they would fly to another one, and they would hold, they would fight, and they would get that island. You see, they were gaining ground. They were holding on to ground. And if something happened, they were not to step back. They were not to give way. Folks, there are many things today that I think that we are uncertain about. When's Christ going to return? How are end times going to look? I mean, all of that is our theory and our hope. But there's some things that we do not change. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what Paul is going to tell us here. He's going to say, I don't care if it was even Peter, the one who was there and preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, I'm going to stand for the gospel. So this morning I want us to think about this. I looked up this week, what do you believe the main reason or top reason people give for not being a Christian or not going to church? The first one is past experience with a religious organization. Church hurts. You get what I'm saying? This week I was told about someone that went into a church, and it was obvious that they lived a sinful lifestyle, and they were escorted out of that church. Does that scream the love of Jesus right there? Hey, I want to tell you what, this is where they need to be. If you can sin under the gospel, love them in Jesus' name. The Bible says that Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. And then the other thing is the hypocrisy in the church. And I don't believe it's the do's and the don'ts that they see the hypocrisy in. No, I believe it's in that Jesus, we preach a loving Savior. We preach a merciful Savior. We preach and declare one that loves you in spite of your sins. But yet, I talk to some of those that are in the food service industry, and can you guess what the most dreaded time that they work is? Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon. That's pitiful, ain't it? That's sad. So today I want us to look at this, and we'll try our best to kindly pick up some tips that we can go and use in our life. Now the first thing is that Peter chooses to compromise. Peter compromises in light of the true gospel. Now look there, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch. Now, I don't think we recognize about where Antioch is. Okay, Antioch was the capital of the Roman province, Syria. And basically, when the Jews were cast out, when they did the great, that he run out the Jewish Christians, a lot of them just stopped right there. But Antioch, being the biggest of the Syria there, it was also the place where the gospel was first preached to Gentiles. If you look over in Acts chapter 11, it's the first place where we see that the gospel is offered to the Gentiles. So much so that when it happens, Barnabas leaves Jerusalem and he goes up there to see what's going on. And we're not told, but listen, not only was good things happening in the church there at Antioch, but the gospel was being preached to them, but they were also preaching the gospel to others. They were the first church, it looks like, that sent out missionaries to go and carry the gospel. But here's something that's amazing. They were probably the first church that took Jews and Gentiles and tore down the wall in between them and came together. What a beautiful, you see, racism was torn down because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did Peter go? We really don't know. I think that, hey, something good's going up on in Antioch. I'm going to go up and get me a little bit of it, see what's going on there. And it says that it was at Antioch that Paul withstood him to his face. The word withstood means that he opposed him or he set himself directly against him. And it goes on to say that, why did I do that? Because he was to be blamed. He was at fault. He was doing something wrong in light of the gospel, and that's why I stood up to him. Notice it says in verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Now, the way that the verbiage is used right there, it doesn't mean that he just kind of came and one day he ate a ham sandwich and that was it. No, it looks like he came and he fellowshiped with them. And he didn't really care about the Old Testament or the Old Covenant rules about food. That he just got down, he ate with them, he loved them. Around the table, they just fellowshiped and they had a good time. But notice it says, and I want you to notice where Peter comes from. If you remember, Peter was, he was staunch about the Jews and how that the gospel was Christ and it was offered to the Jews. But we know that when Peter was, one day he was up and God sent him a vision. And remember, it was the letting down of the sheet. And in it were all kind of animals, unclean animals, things that Peter wouldn't eat. And he said, "No, Lord. No, I'm not going to eat it. I'm clean." And then in Acts 10 it says, God says, "But I have cleansed them. And let no man call unclean what I have made clean." And then when he come down from being on the roof, guess who was there? A servant of Cornelius. It says that Cornelius was basically a Roman soldier from Italy. And he loved God and he did his best to honor God, but yet he didn't know about Jesus. But in a vision, he was sent, said, "Go get Peter." And so Peter came back. He went to Cornelius' house, a Gentile's house. And inside that house, he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard. And all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with the tongues and magnifying. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit just like us?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay for a few days. Now notice, there were there of the circumcision. There were Jews there with Peter, but yet there was no demand for circumcision. It was just like, praise God, we see the evidence of the power of God being upon you. And we see the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. And yet we're going to baptize some folks, man. We don't see him saying "and" or "add on" or "plus." You see, God had used him to, not only did he see the gospel going to the Gentiles, but he got to be a part of the gospel going to the Gentiles. So it says that he was just, man, he was eating. He was having a good time. He was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But then in verse 12, the last part, it says, "But when they being those that came from Jerusalem, those that came from James." Now, who is that they? Well, it goes on to say that when they were come, that he withdrew himself. He separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Meaning those Gentiles that he had been eating with yesterday. Today he's not eating with them anymore. He's over there with those men of somewhat reputation. Look what it says there in that verse. It said that he withdrew himself. He separated himself. The word there means that he pulled away and he set up a boundary. He recognized that there's something different about them. You see, the wall was raised again. Oh, the Bible says, these were men were who I believe in Galatians chapter 2 verse 6. You remember, he said when he went to Jerusalem, it says, "But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no difference to me. God accepts no person, no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." You remember the false brethren. They came in there and tried to spy it out. I believe these were the ones that had came. Ones that may have, in the eyes of man, might have had some kind of standing. And it seems like what they did was when they got there and they seen Peter eating with the Gentiles, might have said something like this: "How dare you? How can you do that, Peter? You understand what's going to happen when you get back to Jerusalem, don't you? The respect that you had, it's not going to be... because you're eating that bad food with those lower class people." And you see, lots of times we do those kind of things. Now, we don't do it intentionally, but we build up walls. We say that, well, if they do this, then they must not really be saved. Well, if they do that, they must not really love the Lord. Well, if they think that to be true, then they might not be who I think they are. You see what I'm saying? If they've come in the name of Jesus, who are we to declare them in any other way than the child of God? It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it says, "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those that were devoted unto Him." Peter, the very one who denied Christ and then was welcomed back by Christ, is now raising up the walls. But look what happens. Not only does Peter do it, but there in verse 13, it says, "Then other Jews dissembled likewise with him, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Now see, it's not just affecting Peter anymore. Remember, this is the first church to tear down the wall between Jew and Gentile. God is doing a work there, but what happens? Some so-called believers come in there and begin to meddle, and they're working against what God is trying to do. Notice it says that even Barnabas, if you go back to Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, you remember I said that this was the first place that the gospel was preached from the Jews to the Gentiles. It said that he was so excited that he left Jerusalem and went all the way there. And when he got there, he saw the grace of God and he saw how things were going. And he began to encourage them and he began to lift them up and say, "Don't let up." And listen to what it says in verse 24, Acts 11, 24. "For he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith." Can you imagine how bad that hurt them? Can you imagine how they felt? And they hadn't done anything wrong. It was just some religious people came in and thought they were of a better status for some reason or other. Church hurt. There's no hurt like church hurt. And that's why a lot of people don't come today. Lots of times we blame it on the pastor. Lots of times we blame it on the deacon. But many times, it's from the brothers and sisters in the pews. They don't mind telling a pastor he did something bad. He messed up. If you look right there, it says that Barnabas and other Jews were carried away with their dissimulation. The word in the Greek is hypocrisis, where we get the word hypocrite. In the Greek theater, when actors were putting on a play, they would have big masks that they would wear. And those masks identified them as their character. And so what you had two faces. You had the character's face, which they wore, but then you had the actor's face. That is what Paul is saying about Peter. He's being two-faced. And others got carried away in his two-facedness. Even good, grounded people of God. Why? Because of reputation. You remember what Paul said? "I choose, my effort is only to please God." Peter, in this point, chose to please others. You see, sometimes we have to call out hypocrisy. And that's what we see in number 2, verse 14. It says that Paul confronts Peter for the sake of the true gospel. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the Gentiles, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and do not as Jews, why compellest thou Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Paul's preaching the gospel of grace through faith. And listen, over in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "To Him all prophets bear witness that everyone that believes in Him receives forgiveness of sin." That's Peter preaching the gospel of grace through faith. Titus, Timothy, everywhere we look. Listen, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Peter had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter had witnessed the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he had affirmed that the gospel of Jesus Christ is all that is needed. But yet, when certain ones come there, look at the word he says, they'd walk not uprightly. Meaning that they weren't walking in line with God's word or what God's or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, thus he says, I looked him in his face. And I told him, I asked him, he said, if you who are a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Basically, he's saying something like this. Hey, you being born a natural Jew, why are you living like the Gentiles and not the Jews? And why are you forcing the Gentiles to live like the Jews? He's saying, Peter, it's not making sense. Peter, you came to this place, Antioch, and the power of God was here, and you loved, and you were the model of what it meant to embrace unity under the gospel. You fellowshipped. You didn't allow the little things to divide. But now, Peter, when certain people have shown up, you are completely the opposite of what you have been. And one, you're not in line with the truth. And see what happens. He had placed himself in line with an untruth, a different gospel, an add-on. Remember, Peter had withdrew himself. Paul, after he confronts him, we see that he continues to tell of the certainty he has in the gospel. Look there in verses 15 and 17. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners by the Gentiles. Now that was a hard one to swallow, ain't it, right there? But basically what he's saying is that, hey, we were born naturally into the Jews, not as the Gentiles. But I want you to think about this. If what Peter is living right then, saying that it was wrong to eat certain foods, then he's a sinner. Right? And guess what? Jesus is a liar. Huh? Isn't it? You understand what I'm saying there? Because Jesus is the one that instructed Peter that it was okay. And Peter was the one that was able to carry that and to affirm that. But now he's saying, hey, we Jews, we are above that. We abide by the law. And Paul's saying, hey buddy, hold on now. If that's so, then we're sinners. And then we move into what is the theme of this whole book. I mean, if you could say that there was a paragraph that wrapped up all that was wanting to be, all that Paul was trying to get apart, you see it right here in these verses. He starts by knowing that. I want you to look at this. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a general statement. He just says nobody can be justified by their own efforts. It has to be by faith through grace. And then he almost repeats the same thing. Listen, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. You see, it's almost the exact same thing. And then he goes on a little further and he says, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, three times he said, it's not by works, it's not by works, it's not by works. It's by faith through grace, it's by faith through grace. You understand, he's repeating it right there to kind of beat it in. Notice, the first one is in general. He says, no man, anybody, there's no man, woman, boy or girl that can be justified by the law. Then he says, the next one, notice he uses the word we. He's saying, Peter, it's me and it's you. None of us. We can't be saved, but, and all the ones that's here. If we're saved, then it's by the gospel of grace and not through our own works. And then there's the universal statement. He says, no flesh can be justified by works. Oh, man. What does justified mean? John Calvin said that it's the hinge by which everything else hangs. You ever thought about what justification is? Justification is when God declares you to be right with Him. The highest of authority says you're right with Him. But then not only that, but He positions you in a place that you're right with Him. And then He declares that you are right with Him. What a beautiful thought that is. And that doesn't come by our own efforts. It comes by grace through faith. Listen, this is a beautiful verse in Colossians chapter 14. It says, "By having forgiven our trespasses forever, by canceling the record of debt, the legal demands, and nailing them to His cross." How did He cancel them? He nailed them to His cross and dealt with them there. What a beautiful picture it is. He goes on to say in verse 17, "But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." He's saying, hey, if we're preaching a lie by grace through faith, then guess what? We're ministers of sin. Because we're telling them a falsehood and trying to get them to do something that's in odds with what the truth is. But he ends it with one of these, "God forbid." Kind of like put a stamp on it and say, "Not in any means." So we see that Peter has failed. He's fallen away. He's confronted by Peter. And the last thing, by Paul. The last thing is look at the conclusion that Paul comes to. "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." He's saying there was a false system. He lived by a false system. Remember, he was zealous. He actually got warrants to go out and kill those and to arrest those that were of the way. Oh, but Jesus came into my life and He tore that system down. And I'm no longer bound by the law. But if I rebuild that, then I'm transgressing. I'm going backwards. For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. For through the law, I'm dead to the law. Think about this. If I got sentenced to capital punishment by America, and they put me to death and buried me in a grave, does the law of America have any control or any power in my life anymore? No. No. And see, the law was never intended to save. You see, it never put it out there to save. It never supplied the way to be saved. And so Paul says, hey, it's through the law that I recognized that I was a sinner. And it's through the law that I'm dead, either on this side or the other side of eternity. Then he moves on into one of the greatest, most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible. "I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me." He's saying this. Yes, the law, I'm dead to it. I couldn't fulfill it. And so on that cross, remember, he nailed all those legal bindings, all those writs and all those accusations, and He carried them down into His tomb. And when He arose on the third day, I arose with Him. And now, it's not about me and what I want. It's about Him. I'm going to live for Him. And then He goes on in the next verse. He says, "For I do not frustrate." He says, I can't get away from the gospel. I can't get away from the mercy and the grace and the love that He has bestowed upon me. And I'm not going to change, Peter. I'm not going to change. But you know what? Peter did. Peter came back. Matter of fact, if you look over in 2 Peter chapter 3, listen, verse 14, listen what he says. Also regard the patience of the Lord as an opportunity for salvation, just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to the wisdom given to him. He speaks about these things in all his letters, in which they are some matters that are hard to understand. The untaught and the unstable twist them to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Now listen at that. Listen at that. Peter not only affirms Paul as an apostle, but he affirms his writings as scripture. Do you hear that? And you know what? What happened? Underneath the gospel, they were united back together. You see, when we submit to the gospel, it brings us together. When we rebel against the gospel, it's going to build those walls. We're going to draw back. We're going to pull away. And folks, it's a time that the world needs us to stand firm on what the gospel is. That there is nothing else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And so today, I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I pray that everybody in here has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you don't, you can. It's just that simple. Before you leave this place, I would love to show you what the Scripture says, because that way you don't have to depend upon me or some little certificate of baptism or what Mama wrote in the big family Bible back in the day, you know. But you know that you know. Maybe today you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've let some things kindly draw you away and build up those barriers. Build up those walls. Or maybe today you just want to come to the altar and say, how great is our God. And there is none like Him. Maybe you need to join. But whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I praise You and I thank You for this day. And God, I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the truth of God. And I'm thankful, Lord, that even the greatest men of God at times found themselves in opposition to their Savior. And I'm thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ that's willing to call it out, not in hatred, not in anger, but in love. And we need to receive it that way. So Heavenly Father, Lord, right now, whatever You want to do, You do it. And let us not get in the way. In that name I pray. Amen. Maybe today you want to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. I tell you what, something's going on around here, and the more the merrier. You better jump on, because it's going to get good. Sister Amy, Page 300, and the altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I lift up my brother today and pray, God, that You just give him victory and peace on the inside. Let him stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I know my brother, Lord, is carrying a burden this morning. And God, I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the peace that cannot be described just rise up within him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now that You give him strength. Attentiveness. It's good to have the visitors. Like I said, next time you can pull your shoes off, okay? You've earned that right. As long as your socks don't stink. Are you sure? Ask the people around you. Do we have any words of prayer? Don't forget Awana this evening. We're excited about the new Awana season and where it's going to take us. Any words of praise or testimony?
Oh.
Amen. Amen. We forget that, don't we? And I'm so grateful. Hey, I don't want justice. I want mercy. Mercy. Anyone else this morning? All right. God bless you. It's good to be with you. I'm going to ask Brother John Franklin if he would to close us out in a word of prayer.